So we might be starting to see a little bit of a rift between the UAW and Unifor, which is the Canadian Auto Workers Union, because of the responses to the tariff situation that has been brought on by the United States and President Donald Trump. General Motors announced that it's going to cut a shift at the Oshawa truck plant in Ontario because of what they say is a reduced demand. But the impact of the 25% tariffs is also cited. Unifor, which has representation at that Oshawa plant, said that the Canadian government needs to do more to consider GM's status as being a tariff-exempt company. And so now you've got the two unions with very different perspectives, because the UAW has taken a pretty soft approach to these tariffs. They've liked some of the approaches here and applications, but again, remember, their goal is to get as many jobs to the United States so they can continue to expand the union. They want to see more manufacturing back in the United States. Let's bring in Merrick Masters, the professor of business in the Department of Management and Information in the Mike Ilitch School of Business at Wayne State University. Merrick, it's great to have you back. What do you make of this now kind of relationship, a little bit of a fracture between the UAW and Unifor?
Well, I would say a couple of things. One, it's been a long-standing, difficult relationship between the Canadian wing of the auto workers, which were part of the United Auto Workers starting in 1937, but split with them in 1984. The friction between the two unions, now Unifor and the UAW, have continued. They've revolved around basically the nature of the trade in the auto industry between the countries. For example, in the 1960s, Canada exported only about 3% of its cars to the United States. Most of them were sold in Canada. They were segregated markets. Now they're very integrated markets. And Canada exports most of its cars to the United States now. And that means that when they export to the United States, they have to pay a tax. It's 25% for the auto industry, unless they're compliant with the Canadian and U.S.-Mexico Free Trade Agreement, which most are. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to calibrate the exact extent of the tax. But we actually have a surplus in auto trade with Canada, where our real deficit with Canada annually it comes from is energy. We have a major energy product deficit with Canada, where we import a lot more than we export to Canada.
So how do these stances between the UAW and Unifor, how do they impact the collaboration in the industry?
Well, I would view this as saying that the Unifor and the auto workers are autonomous organizations.
Sure.
And that they look at each other because the countries are so close and proximate that they don't want wage differentials that would necessarily undercut the markets in each country. But there are differences based on the nature of their economy between Canada and the United States. For example, Canada has nationalized health care. It also has a retirement system across the board that's different from the United States. They emphasize more the traditional retired benefit plans than we do. We have retired contribution plans in auto and elsewhere. Very few retired benefit plans outside of the public sector in the United States. So those things, you know, account for differentials across the industries in labor costs and their impact on the industry. But both sides are being hard hit by international competition and a softening of demand for certain kinds of vehicles. Why there's been an uptick in demand for electrical vehicles as people try to take advantage of the tax rebate as long as it lasts, that's expiring. And we've seen a decrease in the number of exports of U.S. cars, that are manufactured here to Canada. And likewise, Canada's trade with Canada has fallen. fallen this year, particularly in the past couple months compared to what it was before. And you can assume that that's significantly due to the tariffs, plus a slowdown in economic in certain other industries.
Sure. Merrick Masters at Wayne State joins me this morning. You know, the perspective of Sean Fain going into the election was siding with Democrats, kind of going against Donald Trump. But there was a tremendous amount of union support for Donald Trump. Donald Trump wins the presidency, and we've seen the actions of the administration as it pertains to these tariffs. It's something that Sean Fain actually likes and has endorsed and has supported to try to bring back manufacturing jobs to the United States. What has been the internal conversations, do you believe, within the UAW about how the leadership is viewing some of the actions of the federal government at this point?
Well, I think there's a division of opinion about the extent to which the auto workers should support Trump. Many will say that while they support the concept of tariffs, they disagree about the way that it's being done. Mm-hmm. And I thought it's also very important to consider how integrated the supply chains are across the countries now, whereas they weren't, you know, historically that integrated. And they built those up since NAFTA in the early 1990s and created a supply chain in which they are very dependent upon each other. A part may go back and forth across borders, Mexico and Canada, several times before it ends up in the final assembled vehicle. And that makes, you know, setting tariffs a complicated exercise and implementing them, which is kind of a tricky exercise to begin with. But I think that what Trump has done is upset the whole dynamic. And Trump even recently said that he didn't necessarily think that the Canadian-Mexican-U.S. free trade agreement was necessary or relevant anymore. It remains to be seen, you know, if the Supreme Court does uphold the tariffs that he's used under the emergency powers, which are part of the basis in which he's imposed tariffs, but not the auto tariffs. Those are sectoral tariffs, which are different from the emergency power, International Emergency Act tariffs mm-hmm. that Trump has imposed.
You mentioned the supply chain and how much it is connected here in the United States. How is the industry evolving through the logistical side of things and rethinking the sourcing, the production of all of these important parts?
Well, I think they're going to be looking at a number of options closer to home, particularly as long as these tariffs are in place. But it's very important to remember that these tariffs are not set by Congress. They've been set by the president. So there is a dependency on Trump being in office in terms of how long you can calibrate for these tariffs to remain in effect. If you elect somebody else in 2028 who has a different ideological perspective, it could happen that the tariffs would go away almost overnight. Certainly the president would have the unilateral authority to remove them if that power is upheld by the courts. And it makes it very difficult to plan going forward. For example, do you want to really relocate a plant mm-hmm. because of the tariffs? If 4 years from now, by the time the plant may be starting to get up, because they're into these giga plants, which are so
sure.
difficult to build. If you're not building, you know, one new company is building a micro plant process in which they can, you know, ease the capital costs of entering the industry and producing. But as long as you've got these large facilities that companies are building now, it's very expensive to do. And companies are going to be reluctant to do that if they think that these tariffs are transitory. And now you couldn't, you know, who would bet anything they'd last beyond 2028?
Merrick Masters, always appreciate the time and insight. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
Yep, you do the same. Is this the moment for Donald Trump? One op-ed in the New York Times says maybe. It's next on JR Morning.